Thankful to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm truly thankful for this opportunity that we have to preach here tonight. Amen. I count it an honor. It doesn't matter how many times I step behind this desk. Amen. I count it an honor. Amen. To be able to minister to you good folk. Amen. You guys have became as family to us. Amen. And I appreciate that. I feel like the Lord has given us some direction for tonight. And if you don't mind, I believe we're going to slow it down a little bit. And I feel like the Lord wants to deal with us. Speak to us on how we need to live our lives for Christ. Amen. If you would, let's open up to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, when you got it, those that are able, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, if you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Amen. I want to take this text here tonight, just this first text here, this first verse. I want to preach to us on the topic of the callings of the gospel. Amen. The callings of the gospel. You going to help me preach?
Amen.
And shut your hand this way. Ask the Lord to help and anoint here in this place. Everybody praying together.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity that we have to be in your house. We're so thankful.
Help them in this time, brother.
Deliver what is in his clarity. For you've been with us already. God, we ask you for you to have your way. Touch every mind, heart, and soul. God, I pray, Lord, that your anointing will settle down in this place, Lord. That you speak to us, God, that you be with us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
Taking your word, putting it into action, Lord, and living it out in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you reach down to us tonight. Let us have receptive hearts and open ears. And ask it all in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to take a little bit of time tonight. How many people will give me 30 minutes? Raise your hand. 30 minutes. I got 1, 2, 3. I got 2.5 hours. Let's do this. Amen. Amen. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The callings of the gospel. Paul writing this letter to the Roman church, not having been there since his conversion. He is writing to Rome with issues concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul will be dealing with the wrath of God towards the unrighteousness of the Gentile and the Jews. Paul will deal with issues like the judgment of God in the law. He will be writing about the issue of justification by faith. He will spend most of the first portion of this book dealing with sin and how to overcome sin through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him also.
Amen.
Paul will be establishing doctrine. He will be rebuking and exhorting the Roman church here in this letter. I find it very interesting that Paul does an introduction in every letter that he writes, and they are all typically themed the same. But something that I have found to be more interesting was the introduction that Paul gives here to the Roman church. We read in the letters to the churches in Corinth that he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. We read in the book of Galatians his introduction, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. We read also his letters to Timothy. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior. But here in the book of Romans, he doesn't only announce his apostolic authority, but he immediately starts setting the groundwork or the foundation, if you would, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't come outright and say that this is what you're going to do and start demanding of things of them. But what Paul does is he slides these two points in here using the example of himself. And he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. He starts off by saying, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a child of God, you've got to understand that you're going to be a servant of Jesus Christ, and you will be separated for the call or for the gospel of God. Amen. So we're going to take some time tonight and talk about these two issues here, the issues of servitude and the issue of separation. And in this message tonight, I pray that the Lord opens up our eyes to the callings of the gospel, and that if you're going to serve the Lord, that you were called, number one, to be a servant of Jesus Christ, and number two, you were called to live a separated life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Number one, servitude. We've got to understand that it's not by happenstance that Paul uses the terminology that he uses here in Romans 1:1 when he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. For see, from reading through the book of Acts and understanding that there were men in Rome that were born free and men that were in Rome that were not born free. Paul is talking to a Roman tribune and the man says, with great sum I have obtained this freedom. Or simply what he's saying is, I have purchased this freedom with a great sum of money. And Paul responds and he says, well, I was freeborn. It is interesting to note that some historians believe that roughly 60% of men in Rome were under bondage, while 40% of men were free. Amen. Now, I've not been able to solidify this number to be factual, meaning I've not been able to study this out for a fact, but it's interesting to note that the historians believe this. But either way, we understand that Paul was writing to men and women who were under bondage, and he was also writing to men and women who were free. Amen. And so we've got to understand that Paul was dealing with two types of people when he was riding to Rome. Amen. He was dealing with people who were prided with the fact that they were free, either because they had been able to purchase their freedom or because they were born to be free. Amen. Or he was riding to people who were degraded by their bondage. Amen. I've been doing some studying and understanding the type of bondage that these men and women were in. And if I could be honest with you, there are some perverted and gross things that they were bound to do. Amen. Simply because they were a servant. Amen. There were some hard things that these men and women would have to do. But when Paul is writing to these men who were prided with the fact that they were free, or men and women who were bound by the fact that they were bound, or degraded by the fact that they were bound, Paul writes to them and tells them, look, I was once a free man, but I'm telling you tonight that I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen. He tells them that it's by the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. What he's trying to say is this, is that this man is not a taskmaster, but he is a loving Savior who says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. What he's trying to say is this, brother, you're going to want to serve this master. Amen. You're not going to be degraded by this master. You're going to be lifted up by this master. Amen. You're not going to be looking at it and saying, I don't want to serve him. I don't want to serve him. But you'll look at him and say, but it's by his goodness that leads us to repentance. Amen. You will want to serve this master. You will want to serve this king. Amen. Paul here is referring to being a bondservant. A bondservant is simply known as somebody who is willingly serving their master. It is specifically talked about over in the book of Exodus, and we understand that when we read about the bondservant was a Hebrew man, that if he was bought as a Hebrew servant, that he would serve his master for 6 years, but on that seventh year, he would be set free. And if he decided that he didn't love his master, he could go free and he didn't have to go back. But yet, if he looked back and said, I love my master, I want to serve my master, he was able to go back and he was able to say, I want to serve you all the days of my life. Amen. And what they would do is they would take them before judges, essentially. And what they would do is they would take an awl and pierce it through their ears. This is signifying that they are willingly serving their master. master. Amen. I imagine this is why Paul said, I bear in my body the markings of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the call of the gospel. If you're going to serve the Lord, you've got to be a willing servant. You won't do your will, you'll do the will of your master. You won't do what you want to do, but you will do what he wants you to do. Amen. You will renounce all other masters because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the best master I've ever served. He is the best master I've ever served in my life. Amen. You'll want to serve this master. If you go from servitude unto servitude, being a servant from sin to being a servant of Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life. Can you say amen? Romans chapter 6, verse 20 through 23 says, for when you are servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful that this master that I was serving when I was out in sin. Amen. I understand, amen, the life that I was living. The wages of sin is death. And if I kept going down that road, that's what I'd be getting paid with. But I'm so thankful that when I found this master, he looked at me and said, I'll give you life and life more abundantly. I'll give you a life of freedom. I'll give you a life of liberation. I'll give you a life of liberation and freedom in your life. Amen. I'm so thankful that we can run unto Jesus. Amen. The one that's able to make us free. But when we read here, we see where he says in Romans 6, verse 20, for when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Now I want to take a second and ask this question. If the scripture says for when we were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness, why is it then that sometimes when we're servants of righteousness, we're not free from sin? Come on now. Don't back up on me. Why is it then when we are servants of righteousness, some of us are not free from sin? This is because we have not completely surrendered to Jesus Christ. We are still trying to serve two masters. You are trying to hold on to the things of this world, but the Bible tells me no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. You've got to be a servant of Jesus Christ. You can't straddle the line. Amen. You can't have two masters in your life, for either you will love the one or hate the other. And let me tell you, friend, I don't care how much you argue about it. I don't care how much you try to puff up about it. In all reality, if you've got another master in your life, you're going to love that thing more than you love Jesus Christ. Say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But we've got to understand that when we serve Jesus, we've got to be his servant. Amen. We were once servants to sin, but now we're servants of righteousness. We were once servants to wickedness, but now we are servants to holiness. We were once servants to death, but now we are servants of life and life more abundantly. We were once servants to the devil, but now we're servants to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You'll want to serve this master. He's a good master, and it's by his goodness that we are led to repentance. Amen. My King is known by mercy. My King is known by grace. Amen. And this King is worth serving. This master is worth serving. Our taskmaster, before we were saved, rewarded us with bondage and death. But Jesus Christ rewards us with freedom and life. Once I was bound to hatred, malice, anger, and pride, but now I am free to love, cherish, have peace, and long-suffering. This master is worth serving. This is what Paul was saying when he said, Paul, a freeborn, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. You're going to want to serve this master. You're going to want to serve this man named Jesus. This is the first call of the gospel. Secondly, Paul writes and he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God. We see here the second call of the gospel, the call to be separated. How many people understand that we're living in a world that's trying to blend and mend Christianity? Has anybody ever seen them bumper stickers coexist? Come on, makes me want to rip them off. Amen. They're trying to blend us with the world. They're trying to blend us with other Christians, with other religions. They're trying to tell us that we don't need to live differently. We don't have to live by these principles. They're trying to tell us that we don't have to look like this and have to act like this. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to suppress holiness and righteousness. Amen. They will even argue with you and tell you that God is a God of unity and that we need to live in harmony. Amen. But let me tell you, friend, you don't think that God is a God of separation. He is the God that separated light from darkness. He is the God that separated land from the sea. He is the God that separated man from animals. He is the God that separated land from the air. And when the Israelites were led out of Egypt, he said, I don't want you to talk like them. I don't want you to act like them. I don't want you to look like them. I don't want you to serve the same gods that they are serving. Come out from amongst them and be ye a separate people, saith the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Matter of fact, God doesn't want us to be so separated that he tells us that we should not enter into any relationship, whether it be a friendship, a businessship, whether it be a courtship, any of those things with someone who is an unbeliever. He says, what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Ye are the temple of the Lord. Come out from amongst the world and be ye a separate people. God is a God of separation. God is a God of separation. God is a God of separation, and we are called to be separated in our lives. Paul writes here and tells them that we are to be separated to the gospel of God. And when reading that there and going through and trying to see how Paul was separated, I see three times where Paul was separated. Number one, Paul was separated by God before his conversion. Galatians 1 and 15 says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Let me tell you, friend, I don't believe in predestination. As far as Brother Derek's predestined to go to heaven, but Brother Austin's predestined to go to hell. Amen. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I don't believe that God would pick and choose people to make it to heaven and send others to hell. But I do believe that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. So that means that God has a plan for anybody who is born. Come on now. When God called Jeremiah to prophesy in the day that he was living in, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out from the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Psalms 139 and 13 through 14 says, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. Amen. Isaiah 44 and 24 says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, that has formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, and stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that I spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. I can keep going on and on and on and on about scripture, about how God, before we were born, he knew us and formed us and made me into who we are today. Amen. I can go on and on and talk about it, but there is a reason why you were born and the family that you were born in, and there's a reason why you were born and the condition that you were born in. God is separating you to do something for his will. Many of you know my story. When I was younger, my mom and my dad ended up getting a divorce. I was in fourth grade. Many of you know this. I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard on a young kid. Being separated from your siblings. All of a sudden, your parents are divorced, and you're wondering to yourself, is this my fault? Amen. And oftentimes, I would sit there and think, why was I born into this family? Why was I born in this condition? Why was I born? Why would God make me in this family? It made no sense at all. But it wasn't until I moved to Ohio about 4 years ago and I met a young kids up there that were facing the same situation that I was going through that I fully understood why I was born in the family that I was born in and why those things happened in my life. Why? Because in my mother's womb, God formed me and understood that one day this old boy would move to Ohio and have to preach to a bunch of kids that are living in the same condition that he grew up in. What I'm trying to say is this: God understands where you're going to be, and there's a reason for your life. There's a reason why you're born and the condition that you're in. You might have to help somebody else later on down the road, friend. And instead of bucking up and getting aggravated over the fact that we're born in this messy situation, why don't we just say, Lord, use it for your glory. It's only when we surrender our lives and will over to God that we will understand the reasoning for our lifestyle. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. There are many people that I can look at and say, man, why were they born in such a horrible, horrible situation? Why were they born in such depravity? Why were they born in such of a lifestyle? But then all of a sudden they give their lives over to Christ, and man, how God uses them to reach drug addicts, how God uses them to reach homeless people, how God uses them to reach prostitutes. Come on now, help me while I preach. Understand that God has a reason for the family that you were born in. God has a reason for your life and the reason why you are here. We need to surrender to God and say, it's not about what I want, but God, use my life story for your glory. Amen. Number two, he was separated by Christ at his conversion. Acts 9 and 15 says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Here we see that Paul was separated as a chosen vessel to bear the name of Jesus Christ before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. He was chosen to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to preach the death, burial, and resurrection. Because he was chosen, Paul had to be separated so he could preach to us the fullness of the gospel. Paul had to be separated from the law. He had to be separated from the life of guilt, shame, and sin. If Paul wasn't separated, then we wouldn't know how to live our lives for Christ. Amen. But Paul explains it and he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. There's a separation from this old life when you start living this new. Amen. Paul said, I die daily. He tells us that we need to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to take off this old man and to put on the new. Amen. And when we get saved, God calls us to live a life of separation. Amen. We need to live a life separated from this old world. We need to live a life that is separated from our old life. We need to live a life that is separated from sin. We need to live a life from idolatry. We need to live a life separated from the things of this world. God is a God of separation, and if you're going to serve him, he demands that you be separated. God is a God of separation. He tells us that we have to be separate. Separate. Separate from this old world. Separate from the things that we were doing before we got saved. Separate from this old man. Separate from the sin of this life. Separate from the things in our lives. And he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold, but I would rather you be hot or cold, so that then because thou art lukewarm, or because you're not separated, because you're trying to mix together the hot fire of the Holy Ghost and the cold death world, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. He demands that we live a separated life, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. God help us to understand that he wants us to live separated from this world. He tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, but that if any man loves the things of this world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, separate yourself from those things and serve God. Separate yourself from those things. Amen. Isn't this the instruction that he gives us? He says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then all of a sudden, he starts listing a list of things, and he says, having a form of God, ungodliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, or from such separate yourself from. Why? Because we need to live a life of separation. Hallelujah. A life of separation from this world, a life of separation from ourselves, a life of separation from others. Amen. Separated. He was separated by Christ at his conversion. And thirdly, he was separated by the Holy Ghost after his conversion. Bible says in Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Hallelujah. Paul was separated by the Holy Ghost. He was separated to do the work of God that he has been called to do. This tells us that he lived a life where he walked in the Spirit, where he was led by the Spirit. He lived a life that was so separate from his flesh, where he was able to listen and to heed the call of God. Paul tells the church in Galatia, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye shall walk not under the law. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. What I'm trying to say is this: we need to walk in the Spirit of God. In an article that I've read, I don't remember the author's name, but he was writing concerning the same topic of being separated by the Holy Ghost. He said, some years ago in Wellington, South Africa, where I live, we opened a mission institute, what is counted to be there a fine, large building. At our opening services, the principal said something that I have never forgotten. He remarked, last year we gathered here to lay the foundation stone. And what was there to be seen? Nothing but rubbish and stones and bricks and ruins of an old building that has been torn down. There we lay the foundation stone. Very few knew what the building was like when it rose. No one knew it perfectly except one man, the architect. In his mind, it was all clear. In his mind, every detail was there. And as the contractor and the mason and the carpenter came to do their work, they took their orders from him, and the humblest laborer had to be obedient to their orders, and the structure rose. And this beautiful building has been completed. And just so, he added, this building we open today is but laying the foundation of a work in which God only knows what is to become. He said, but God has his workers and his plans clearly mapped out, and our position is to wait that God should communicate to us as much as he will at the time that is needful. Brother Austin, what are you trying to say? This is what I'm saying, friend. Let me put it to you like this. God's building a building. Okay? God's building his kingdom. And he needs masons. And he needs welders. And he needs pipe fitters. And he needs carpenters. And he needs plumbers, and he needs finishers. What I'm trying to say is this: we're not all going to be doing the same work, amen. But if we live our lives separated, we can do exactly the way that God has called us to do, amen. I can't do the work of a plumber, amen. You see, I'm just a welder. I can't do the work of a finisher because I'm just a welder, amen. So I have to understand that my life needs to be separated, amen, from my own will, my own ambitions, the things in which I want to do in my life, and I need to follow after the voice of God. Whether that means that I'm a plumber, whether that means I'm installing toilets, whether that it means that I'm a contractor, amen, whatever it is, God has a plan for each and every one of us, and we are called to be separated by the Holy Ghost, amen, to live a life of separation, to live a life that is in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have to live a life that is separated by the Holy Ghost so we can do the will of the Father, not our will, not mama and daddy's will. Come on now. That way we're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, what we want, what we desire, but walking in the Spirit so that way He can speak to us, lead us, guide us, help us, and minister through us. As you all know, I was a foreman at the job that we just left. I'm going to be honest with you. If one guy wasn't there, if my finish crew was not there, left me in a bind. I have a backup finish crew, but they're not like my good finish crew, if you know what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is this. We are called to do what God has called us to do. Stop thinking that you're a finisher when you are a contractor. Stop thinking that you're a plumber when in all reality, you are a welder. Come on now, you know what I'm trying to say. Stop thinking you're trying to push in a certain direction when in all reality, God is calling us to do something. Do what God has called you to do. Be separate from those things. These are the calls of the gospel of Jesus Christ as my wife comes to the piano. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. You may be looking at me today saying I'm prided with the fact that I'm free. I'm prided with the fact that I'm not bound by those laws that you're living by. All right, let me ask you this question, friend. Can you stop sinning? Then you're bound. Put down them cigarettes for a while. See how bound you are. Come on now. Put down that music that's got a hold of you. See who's bound. I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free because I'm serving my master. You may be looking at me saying, brother, I'm so burdened down with the fact that I am bound by sin. I'm so burdened with the fact that I'm a servant to sin. Let me tell you, friend, you'll want to serve this master. Amen. The master that you're now serving, the ends of there is death. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God or the wages of God is eternal life. You will want to serve this master. Oh God, God has not called us to live a mangled up, messed up life where we are half grafted in and half grafted out. God said, cut it clean. Cut it clean. Be separate. I feel the Holy Ghost. Be separate. Be separate. Oh God. Paul was separated by God before his conversion. God can use you in the capacity in which He has born you into. The family that you were born into, God can use it for His glory. He was separated by Christ at his conversion. I can't help but feel as if there's somebody in this place that is not separated like they need to be. Come on now. I want to serve this master, but yet I'm holding on to the things of this world. Separate. Separate. I don't know why I'm not satisfied with this man Christ. I don't know why I'm not satisfied. I don't know why I can't get the baptism. I don't know why this is happening. Maybe it's because you've not separated yourself from this world, from yourself, from the things that are in the world. He was separated by the Holy Ghost after his conversion to do the will of God. We'll be honest, I've wrestled with my own will. I've wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with my own will. And it wasn't until I surrendered my will to God that I felt peace. I felt peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to be honest with you, friend. I'm the most uncomfortable evangelist you've probably ever looked at. Amen. This is not something that I was planning on doing. But let me tell you, friend, I've got such a peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't understand how it's all going to work out, but I know that I'm doing the will of God, and I know that this is what God has called me to do, and I understand that if I do His will, He will take care of me. Don't be afraid to do the will of God. Step out in faith. If God has called you to do something, stick to it. Do it, friend. Get a hold of that thing and do it with all of your might. If everybody would stand. That's Paul's introduction, first verse there to the Roman church. Brother Austin, that was a little deeper than what Paul said. Maybe. There's nothing wrong with breaking down some scripture and seeing. And seeing where we can fit things. I don't know about you, but I want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. These masters that I've once served, they've given me nothing but problems. But this master that I now serve, even though sometimes things bother me, sometimes things come against me, it is the best decision I've ever made in my life. Now, I don't know about you, friend. In a world that's trying to pull everybody together, I want to be separated. I don't want to look like them. I don't want to act like them. I was once acting like them. I don't want to act like them. Why? Because I'm saved by the grace of God, and He has called me to live a separated life. I want to do the will of God. If everybody would, bow your head and close your eyes. Does anybody hear the call of the gospel? To live a life of servitude. To live a life of separation. Hallelujah. To live a life of servitude. To live a life that is separated for the gospel of God. Oh, God, help us. Is there anybody in this place here tonight that is struggling with being a servant of Jesus Christ? You say you want to serve Him, but yet you have two masters. You say you want to be His son or His daughter, but yet you have two masters. Oh, come on, friend. God has called you to live a life of servitude where you renounce all other masters. You serve Him and only Him. Is there anybody that is in this place that is struggling with being separated? That is struggling with the family that you were born into? That is struggling with the lifestyle in which you have, that is struggling with the personality in which God gave you? Is there anybody that is in this place that is struggling with separating themselves from this world? Is there anybody that is in this place that is struggling with doing the call of God, to heeding to His voice? If that's you, friend, come on. Come on. Oh, come on, friend. Come on now. God's dealing with your heart. I see it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to pull you out of your pew. I'm not going to come down and get you. But you need to make up your mind that you're going to serve this master. And you're going to live a life that is separated for the gospel of God. Oh, come on, friend. One's already came. Anybody else? Anybody else? There's no shame in saying that I need some help. There's no shame in saying I need to be more consecrated. There's no shame in saying, God, I need to live a life that is more separated than what I've been living. I'm not going to tear you along. Anybody else? Anybody else want to be honest and say, brother, I've been struggling. I've been struggling. Don't be ashamed. I've been there. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Come on, friends, let's gather in. Come on, church, let's gather in this place. Let's gather around the altars. If you see somebody that is down praying, pray with them. If you feel like that you need to pray, come on and pray, church. Come on, friends. Let's pray. Let's get a hold of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.